World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It's Tuesday, September 11th, 2001.
It is lunchtime in London, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, and 8 a.m. here in New York, live from the CNN Financial News headquarters.
It is beautiful outside, perfect September day with lots of sunshine. Oh, would you look at Washington, huh? I'm going outside today.
Other than that, it's kind of quiet around the country. We like quiet. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
Number two.
Yeah. This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center.
La espera de mayores informaciones, saber qué fue lo que ocurrió, cómo fue que este...
Apparently, a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
現在私、貿易センタービルから1キロほど北にあります国連本部の
It does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
We just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of absolute
Yes, and
my
that's
view.
The second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway.
People are running away very, very quickly. There are more explosions further down the building.
This is so shocking, of course, to everybody watching.
I've never seen anything like it. It literally blew itself into World Trade Center.
The building's exploding right now. You got people running up the street.
David, we're going to cut the country off. President Bush is speaking.
Today, we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
And the Pentagon is being evacuated. There is a large fire there, and that is the smoke you see in the shot that you are looking at now.
It appears that an aircraft of some sort did hit the side of the Pentagon.
That's a very haunting description that Bob Kerr just gave of that low-flying aircraft near the White House, and one can only wonder if that was something that ultimately ended up in the Pentagon.
We just saw a live picture of what seemed to be a portion of the building falling away.
Wow.
And some people were...
Jamie, I need you to stop for a second. There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. And I'll tell you that I can't see that second tower, but there was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion.
Let's go to the Trade Tower again, because, John, we now have a... What do we have? We don't...
Wow. It looks like a new large plume of smoke.
Only one tower is standing. The other has collapsed.
Thanks very much, completely collapsed. The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed?
The building has collapsed.
We heard a big bang, and then we saw smoke coming out, and everybody started running out, and we saw the plane on the other side of the building, and there was smoke everywhere, and people are jumping out the windows. Over there, they're jumping out the windows, I guess because they're trying to save themselves. I don't know.
And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There are no words.
There's a haze everywhere. It's very, very difficult to see, but there has been a
the whole area has been covered by soot and ash. I said it looks almost like snow. So as people are coming up the street running from the scene of this new explosion.
所有飞往纽约和华盛顿的客机都已转飞加拿大的机场。
I'm going to interrupt you, Senator McCain. These are the first pictures we have in. This is from Somerset County, Pennsylvania. This is where the United Airlines flight, I believe it is 176, went down.
Hillary, I need to interrupt you. This is a Taliban spokesman talking now in Kabul, I believe.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
قبل دقائق من افتتاح وول ستريت الذي انهار تماما بعد أن التهمته النيران أول تعليق لمكتب التحقيقات الفيدرالي أشار إلى أن طائرة البوينغ اختطفت من مطار بوستن
911 boys and girls never forget boy oh boy you talk about a dayThat changed America. Look back over 16 years ago today, the Patriot Act and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And here we sit 16 years later, and I'm sure I'm not the only guy in this queue and not the only person listening to the show right now knows that that whole thing's bunk. That whole thing is absolute bunk. And to think that still 16 years later,I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. You watch today. Of course, we're all, Hurricane Irma is all the story everywhere. So they're not going to be much 911 remembrance today, although there'll be some 911. But you know what, folks, they hardly ever show the replays of this and what really went on, what really went on. The towers collapsed. And we really don't, because they want us to forget. They want us to forget how much we were lied to that day.How much we were lied to. We may get into some of this stuff. I don't want this to be the entire focus of the show. But we know there's 911 architects for truth out there. We know that it did not happen the way that they told us to happen. We know that. And it goes back to that same theme that we seem to have here a lot is truth. Lawlessness. There's no truth. You can go to people whose eyes aren't even open, who aren't even awake.And they question 911. And here we are 16 years later and trying to drain the swamp and all that mess that's going on. And oh, boy. I know you all remember where you were. I was driving down. I can show you right where I was. I was driving down route 16 here in the Newark, Ohio area. I was heading to I was doing some teacher supervision at that point. And, man, I can tell you at the traffic light where I was sitting when I was listening to the Mike Gallagher show, and he – Whoa, what happened there? He's up in the Empire State Building. I'm sure if I came to all of you, you'd all have a story about 911. But the story of 911 is the lies, the deception. 16 years later. 16 years later, we're still not getting the truth. We go on and act like we are. Think about the loss of liberty that came about as a result of this, whether it's a false flag or whether it was actually was a terrorist attack or it was.They covered up who did it or whether or not there actually were bombs that had been planted in the towers previous to that. We know this, don't we, that kerosene, airplane, gas doesn't melt steel. Come on, folks. I was in a plane yesterday flying back from Austin, Texas, looking out that window again, looking how those wings are flapping, how flimsy those things are.And we're to think that they flew that plane at 500 miles an hour into the World Trade Center and it cut through steel. It cut through steel, brought that down. Oh, come on, man. We're smarter than that, aren't we? Good morning. Coach Dave here. Boy, I tell you, it's good to be home. I spent a weekend down in Austin, Texas. Actually, not in Austin. Flew into Austin, Texas. Spent the weekend with my buddy Chad Estes. Maybe I try to get Chad in here a minute.Did some relief reconnaissance down in the Rockport area of Texas, clear down on the coast. Beautiful. What would had to have been was a beautiful resort town. They're like that all across America down along the southern border. Beautiful. And to see the devastation that's down there, it's almost, again, as we always say, it's almost indescribable. And Rich, it's I think of Rich because Rich did such yeoman work with the flood stuff in Louisiana. Rich, it's beyond what you can even imagine. And the Rockport area in particular, even though it has beautiful skyline and beautiful homes on the water, when you get about three blocks off of the main drag, it's very, very, seems to me to be very, very poor working class area, a lot of Hispanics. And man, it has just been, it's been unbelievably wild. So we're going down there. We had a great weekend. Did a lot of, we'll tell you some stories about some of that stuff. I got some things to show you here. Chad, if you can jump in here real quick, I'm gonna pull my buddy Chad Estes in, who is the coordinator, the captain of the Salt and Light Brigade there in the Texas area. He's done a great job pulling some resources together. Chad, just your overall view, brother, of where we are. And by the way, Chad works tonight. He had to go into work last night without much sleep. So he's doing a Herculean effort. What do you think here, Chad?
Well, I think that we did a lot of back slapping and handshaking, and we weren't going to compromise what we wanted to do just so we could find a place to be there. And so I think that we made some headway. I think we got a pretty good spot. I think we've made some great progress, and we definitely gave some, from what little we had between me, you, Glenn, and Josh, to hand out, that we made an impact that day. And just to magnify that times, 30 more people, man, we're gonna really, they're gonna know about the Salt and Light Brigade when we leave there 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we're gonna do great work. And Rich, I know, Big Rich is gonna pull his cooker, and Jim Kraft, I know, is lifting. He's listening. He's gonna pull stuff down there. Pastor Bill Dunphy and a crew from New Beginnings Church in Warsaw drove 30 hours yesterday, or on the, they left on Thursday to get down there. 30 hours, folks. That's a day and 6 more hours. They drove 30 hours, about 7 or 8 of them. Never really got a good count to go down there and begin to do some.
Oh, Coach, can I say something too? Guys, Chad again. If you plan on driving down there, please get with me so I can help you plan the route better. Okay, yeah. So some of that, just get with me, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. I know that it's funny. I flew into Cincinnati and drove home, and it's about 2 hours and 2.5 hours from Cincinnati for me to get home. But it was a straight flight on Allegiant Air. That's why I use it. But anyway, Pastor Bill and those guys left about 24 hours before me, and we both got to Cincinnati. We were within 10 minutes of each other arriving in Cincinnati. They were driving. Robert McLeod took down Rich. He took down his own tractor. They used that tractor to pull out stumps. They went out and rented another big skidder. I mean, those guys did Herculean efforts. And so we partnered with them a little bit down there. I'll show you some clips of some different things. And it's great work. Great work for sure. Jim Kraft's going to bring some stuff in. So our plan is we're going to go down there. Two things going on. Sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. I got home late. Can you see the bags under my eyes? I got home a little bit late as well last night. Pastor Dale Socha and Ray Gano and those guys, they got a great work going on in Humble, Texas. Humble is up to the northeast of Houston. Rockport is clear down. Rockport is about 4 hours from Houston, farther south. It's way down there. But we made a commitment to Rockport because there really isn't a whole lot of FEMA and Red Cross and all that kind of relief stuff going on down there. Now, as Chad said, it's really, really encouraging because the community is coming together. And there are community groups out there that are feeding people and doing all that stuff. And I mean, it's good. But can I tell you again the problem? There's such a great lesson in this for us, friends. Just a great lesson. One of the things that we tried to do when we went down there, we were looking for a church to partner with. We wanted to be able to say, hey, listen, we got a bunch of resources to send your way. We need to find some churches. And here's what happens. There aren't any. There are some, but there aren't any churches. They're not. The churches have disappeared. And I don't mean blown up. I mean, they've disappeared. And we get this idea in our church that the church is designed just to take care of the people that are within the church. And it's a great opportunity for the church to make America great again. So we drove around, and Chad and Josh and those guys, they'd jump out of the truck whenever we'd see a church that was doing something, and we would try to partner with them. And Chad jumped out at one place that looked like they had a pretty good operation going on. And so Chad did a good job of feeling out the situation, and we started talking about, is there preaching going on here? You guys doing any preaching? Anything like that? And we're not finding anybody that's doing that. And Chad brings up, is anybody talking about repentance here? When you guys are passing out this stuff, the supplies, are you talking to the people about Christ and repentance? And they don't know. What was it, Chad? They're non-judgmental. Isn't that what they said, Chad?
Yeah, we don't want to judge people.
Yeah, we don't want to judge people. We ran into...
It's not our place to judge. That's what it was.
See, and I believe, I don't know about you guys, that we need to repent. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We believe that's the message that needs to go forth, and it ain't going forth down there. Now, we did partner up with another little church called Port of the Rock, a small church, and we were able to... This is a lady pastor, and she's doing great work. They got a little church set up, and she's all for us. And so we wrote her a sizable check, but she couldn't believe it. This is what we wanted to do. We wanted to go down and pour our resources into the community through churches. That's really what we were trying to do. And there aren't any. I mean, we found a couple, but for the most part, there aren't. We did find a guy, Pastor Bill Dunphy, and those guys ran into a guy named Israel, just a guy in the community. And he's setting up different operations for us to be able to pour money into, the relief efforts, the repair efforts, feeding efforts. So, Rich, you're going to be needed down there in a couple of weeks. I can promise you that. And Jim Kraft and anybody else. And we would like anybody wants to come. And then we're going to try to shift gear. After we go down to Rockport, because it is so far and because it is hard to find a staging area, we're going to do a great outreach down there on the 21st of October, begin it on the 21st. But we think probably after that we're going to begin to stage up at Humble, which is up north of Houston.
My 21st, you said October.
I'm sorry, September 21st. Sorry, Chad. And then we're going to be stage out of Humble, which is a little bit closer. It's 5 hours up. No, it's north of Houston. Dale Socha, you know, we've been hearing from Dale. I don't know if he's on the show today. Didn't even notice.
Great work that's going on.
Chris Keys is still. Okay, I hear you, Dale. Chris Keys, I heard from him last night. He's still doing great work. So. We're going to find places to plug in. And so, Dale, jump in here. I don't want to make this all about relief, okay, folks? I don't. I want to cover some bases. Now, just tell us what your weekend was like there, Dale.
No, I think, brother, just from my conversations with you that we have had, you know, in between, you know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? There's definitely a concurrence that even where we were at, Northern, and of course, there are many neighborhoods that were not affected, but many neighborhoods that were. And we did the same thing. We were scoping, siting, knocking on pastors' doors, their churches. And brother, some of the conversations was, you know, one of the conversations was that, well, we didn't flood and the church didn't flood. And I'm thinking, wow, that's great. Perfect for a staging area. And I'm like, okay, but are y'all doing anything? Well, no, because we didn't flood. And then I would literally, from the church parking lot, look down a street and see gutted houses.
Water was 12, 14 feet high. That's what you said, Dale. Water was 12, 14 feet.
Some of the low poverty neighborhoods you saw, wherever they blew that dam, and you could see, that's how you knew, you could tell where the water line was, because that dirt lays up into the bushes. And I sent those pictures out, and I sent you some videos. Now, you know, one of the staging areas that I sent you pictures to, that church, they flooded, and so they got a pretty good base of operations doing the mercy ministry part. And then I showed you they had a little teeny tiny prayer tent, and they had no Bibles. I'm like, so what do y'all do? So, you know, we're gonna feel that out and see here personally, because I drove, and so I drove from Conroe, Texas, all the way down into Port Arthur in Beaumont, because I met up with Chris and actually went to church with him yesterday morning, spend some time. And my objective is that I looked in Humble, where there was a lot of flooding, right by that big church that did flood and they were doing works, was another huge church that was sitting on a mountain that didn't flood and they had nothing going on. From a pastoral position, brother, it was very grievance to know that I knew that neighborhoods were flooding, and you just want to get out and do something. That's my heart. You know, I don't know what you would do, but you want to get out and do something. And so, you know, it was very grievous that it's doing great response. And the church that we were at yesterday Reformed Presbyterian Church. That pastor came down in there. That's how we ended up in his service. And that also, you know, he's going back to the very places where he was rescuing people from. And so, brother, they're locking in there and they are preaching the gospel and the people are sitting at the table. So it is a location that we want to continue, you know, to observe and support. And I know I talked with Rusty last night on the way home, too.
Don't muzzle the ox. That's right. So maybe we can get some people down there as well.
And they need relief. They need body relief. They need people to help.
They need relief bodies. Teams. That's right.
Yep.
It's one thing to send $10. It's something else to send 10 men. And they need 10 men more than they need $10. That's just my take on it. Somebody try to jump in here. I'm sorry. Female kind of voice.
Yes, Coach. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Could you tell me, as well as maybe your other viewers who don't know, address, PayPal, Patreon, how we can donate to help with the rescue efforts and help the people down in Texas?
Sure can. This is Sherry. Is that right, Sherry?
Yes.
Welcome in the queue, sweetheart. Appreciate it. Don't mean to call you sweetheart. Not allowed to do that kind of stuff anymore, you know?
No. So that's okay with me.
Well, Sherry, they can go to coachdavelive.com and there's a donate button right on the front of it. You can donate there. You could mail a check, which many are doing. I came home yesterday, Sarge, came home to $10,000 more in checks, if you can believe that. People that are giving it's just amazing. You can mail a check to Pass the Salt, P.O. Box 744. Folks, grab a pen if you want to write this down, because a lot of people don't like to do stuff over the internet. And it's Pass the Salt, P.O. Box 744, Hebron, like Hebrew with an O-N, Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron, Ohio. And the zip is 43025, 43025. I'll give it to you again. Jared's probably going to put it up on the screen, but Jared, some people aren't watching it, so we got to do it again. Pass the Salt, Box 744, 744, Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Ohio, 43025. And then I had people who have asked us also about PayPal. We can receive a PayPal. Our PayPal account is ptsalt, like Pass the Salt, ptsalt at gmail. So you ought to be able, if you're working off PayPal, y'all just type in ptsalt@gmail.com and boom, our account ought to pop up. And we have people who are donating. And Patreon, Sarge, help us out a little bit, exactly how they do it on Patreon.
Just go to Patreon, become a member, and make a monthly commitment.
That's how we do it. And these needs are going to be ongoing. And even though the media is really disappointed today, that doesn't look like the other hurricane became nearly what they thought it was going to be. Certainly there'll be damage, but it's down to Category 2 now, from what I understand, unless I missed something this morning. So now all of the focus that was going to try. See, we move from crisis to crisis in the United States. Have you noticed that? A crisis happens one day, then we move to another crisis the next day, and then another crisis. This situation down in Texas is an ongoing crisis. I promise you, this thing isn't going to be over anytime soon. And we heard from the guys down in Rockport saying, it was Israel that told us that people, they were so poor to begin with that when their homes exploded, they left. They ain't coming back. They went to Houston. They went to New Orleans. They went someplace else. There are a lot of people that aren't going to come back. And we got a report from one of the pastors down there that one-third of the homes in Rockport, one-third, cannot be salvaged. So we're doing good work. That's where we're locked in with Israel down there. I can't never get his last name. He's a Hispanic guy, knows everybody, a former police officer. He's heading up some relief efforts. So we're going to pour into them, pour into Chris Keys. We got plenty of places to put money. Anybody else want to jump in real quick?
Yeah, you got it, Coach. What's up, brother? Good work. I saw your videos on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a couple of them here, Vince. Go ahead.
I just want to say, first of all, okay, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, right? They're trying to play her. This is the media spin. They're trying to play her as a martyr.
Yeah.
And saying that Imran Awan is the bad guy in the whole thing. She was the helpless victim, which of course is.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And I just want to say, I also listened to Dr. Brewer on Hagman Friday. On the 3-hour show, and he said something very interesting, and it spurred me to think about this. We're not really part of this earth. Our job here is to make the earth better. That's what Jesus is waiting for. That's what he's waiting to see. These people waiting for the rapture, they're gonna wait forever because if they're not doing anything, he's never coming.
Occupy till I return, huh? That's exactly right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Right. I like that theme. See, it doesn't make my faith doesn't make any sense to me if I'm not exercising it. If I'm not exercising my faith, I don't understand. I just don't understand people, right? It's appointed unto man wants to die. We're all going to die. What it matters what you do, as somebody said, between those dashes, 1952 and 2000, whatever. It's the dash. It's everything. What you did with your, not how much fun you had, not all that kind of stuff. What ultimately, what did you do for the cause of Christ? And we're so missing that. We're so missing the church. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people kind of dismiss that as it is in heaven part, but that's important. If you just sit back for a minute and think how completely and sincerely God's will is performed in heaven. I mean, wow. You know, he wants that kind of harmony here on earth amongst his body. That's not to be glossed over. It's not to be, you know, thrown out with the trash.
He ain't looking forward to the rapture, I don't think, you know. And see, in our mindset, we see the rapture as, well, we're losing here, so Jesus is going to come back and beat everybody up and take us out of there. Like you know, when you're a kid out on the street and somebody's kicking your butt, so I got to get my dad, and your dad shows up and cleans everything up. That's what we think is going to go on. And to me, that's just not Christianity. That's just not the God I serve. That's just not the way that we ought to. That's not the way you occupy. Occupy till I return. Folks, what would you do as a parent if you went away? You're going to go on a 2-week vacation. When you went on a 2-week vacation, you said to your kids, hey, take care of the house. You guys can lay here, but take care of the house. And you come back 2 weeks later and all the furniture is burnt and that big party's going on and your house is a stinking mess. What would be your reaction?
Hey, coach.
Just a second. So when Jesus left, said, hang on to this place, occupy till I return, earnestly contend for the faith. He ain't expecting to come back to this mess. It just got so bad that he has to come back. I don't, maybe my theology screwed up. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, we talk a lot about this on the show, and I just encourage people that are questioning what you're saying, go to the Word and study it, because that's what I did. I actually studied it in the Word, and it's not really even a theology. It's what's written in the Bible, and it will become clear to you when you start studying it and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you as to the truth of the matter.
Amen. And again, I don't want to bash on pastors. I think part of the problem with pastors is they don't know how to teach people how to live out their faith. Why don't they? Because they don't really know how. They know how to teach it. They know how to preach it. They know how to organize the church. But guys, they were not. Bill Dunphy gets in a car and drives 30 hours from Ohio to Rockport. How many pastors did he run into, do you suppose? Are there pastors out there with their people out on the street serving the needs of the people? And maybe they are, but not really. They aren't out there. We are serving ourselves. Making sure our flock is okay and taking care of the needs in our flock, which is good. I get all that. But why aren't they, for heaven's sakes, organizing their flocks to begin to be able to do relief? You say, well, they can't, Coach, because their houses are in disarray. Okay, get together and begin to move like a bunch of locusts from house to house and repair them. Bill Dunphy said, you know, the thing we need to do, this is so simple. He said, let's come in here, let's look at an area, and let's assess. Let's look around and let us find 20 houses that we could have repaired here. Some are really blown up, no good, but let's find 20 houses that could be restored in 2 weeks, and let's get a group of people and let's restore those 20 homes. Let's start right there and get those 20 people back into their homes, and then let's move into another area, and then let's find 10 homes there. Rather than being overwhelmed about how much everybody lost, let's look at what can be restored, and let's begin to restore that. So, for instance, we're driving around on I forget the days. What day would that be? It would have been Saturday night. And we're handing out. We bought a bunch of hamburgers and buns. We went down there. And we're trying to find people to hand stuff out to. But a lot of them aren't there. They haven't returned yet. Or they come in and they fix their stuff up and they leave. And we're doing this in the evening. We come around the corner and there's Pastor Bill Dunphy. I'm going to show you this video, Jared. I want you guys to understand, just understand the magnitude of the difference that we can make. And we come around the corner, and Pastor Bill sees this old guy, these two old people sitting out in front of their house. And Jared is down to the bottom, says veteran. And he jumps out and says, "What, you know, what's going on?" Starts a conversation. What's going on? I'm going to show you the video here in a second. And the old guy begins to tell him, "Well, you know, you can see behind them, their house is gone. The trailer was gone. They had a storage space without their clothes. It's all gone. And they're sitting in chairs in front of a travel trailer. And the travel trailer is submerged into the mud so that the door won't open. It's sitting like at an angle like that, their travel trailer, sitting like that into the mud. An old man and an old woman. We start a conversation with them. They've been sleeping in their truck. Except the night before, the old guy slept on the ground. And they are helpless. They can't. So we find out, Pastor Bill begins to talk to him. He's an 89-year-old Korean War vet. 89-year-old Korean War vet. Lost everything. Sleeping on the ground, sleeping in the car, he and his wife. And Pastor Bill and those guys jumped out. And they jacked that. It took them a long time. They jacked that thing up out of the mud. They'd put blocks down. They'd jack it up again. They'd put another block in. They jacked that front end of that thing up so they could live in their travel trailer. And this 89-year-old guy, he said, "We're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild right there." I said, "Man, is that ever the spirit of America? Is that ever the Eddies that Michael Savage talked about? Guys like that, 89 years old, sitting in that chair, sleeping on the ground, said, 'We're going to build. He pointed, "We're going to rebuild right there. Going to build us a home right there," 89 years old. And I just did this. These are the folks. These are the kind of gospel opportunities that you have, that they are life-changing moments. They're there for us to see them. They're just everywhere. So I took this little video. I came up on the scene a little bit late. Pastor Bill and those guys, we were out passing out hamburgers and stuff like that. We came up on the scene, and here sits this little man sitting in his chair. And Jared, go ahead and play that. Richard, you're a Korean War veteran?
Yes, sir.
Tell you what happened here, bro.
What happened here? I don't know.
Were you here during the whole thing? Did you?
Oh, I went into it in the beginning here.
Did you flee? Did you stay? Did you stay here?
No. Location, no, I wasn't here.
So you went away, came back, and now you can't get back into your place. Is that right?
Well, I married a girl, and she wanted to come here. So that's where we are. No, I got out of high school and joined the service.
Amen.
Give them 25 years.
Well, we appreciate it.
I served 3 wars and wound up in the Pentagon.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And you end up here today.
And I end up here today, and I'm planning on building the house right out there.
Go build my house right there. You got a little dog down here. Do you need any dog food at all? We brought some dog food with us.
No.
We're okay there?
Yeah. I think we're in pretty good shape.
Okay, good. Your spirit's good anyway, huh?
I found that if you laugh at things in a serious situation, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad.
Yeah, that's right. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yes, sir. Well, we're honored to be able to help you, Richard. Opportunities like that, folks, everywhere you look. He's going to rebuild. 89. He's not one of those cupcakes out marching in the street wanting the government to do something for him. He served his country 25 years, Pentagon. And there he sits, 89 years old, not a thing left in the world. What's he going to do? He's going to rebuild. And the hope that we gave them, the Pastor Bill, and just took that trailer and pumped it back up so that they could live in that trailer. It was like the relief that came over them is like it was indescribable. It really was. Let me move to something else. I want to make sure you say this. I want to salute Chad Estes again. Chad put together a little 3-minute video here, Jared. It says Estes Ranch. Estes Ranch. And Chad did this little three-minute clip, and I just think it kind of tells the story as well. They're good. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, YouTube. I'm out here where we came down to a hurricane site down here in Rockport. And we're a little community right outside of it. I can't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, see behind me, as we rolled in here, it literally looks like a war zone. Literally like a war zone. Trees all over the place. The buildings blown apart. Just cars turned over. RVs, campers turned over. It's just demolished. Stuff's just a total loss. Now here behind me in the background, you can hear people running generators. They're running water pumps and cleaning out their house. And there's no electricity out here. There's no running water, no plumbing. None of the normal necessities that we all love and appreciate. There's one thing there is down here, there's a lot of teamwork. And that's what I see, is that neighbors helping neighbors. Currently we're over here on this little RV camper over this little hill right here behind me. It's a really, they're utterly World War II veteran and his wife. And their fifth wheel camper was like mushed down in the dirt like that. So we're raising it up with bricks and stuff, doing a jacking it up. So, I just wanted to report to you live from Rockport. Hey, thanks. See you later.
We're showing pictures for those of you who cannot see the screen, listening on the phone.
It's actually a mobile home, but only the, really oddly enough, only the foundation is left on that thing. So the rest of it swept away over here. This pickup truck has had all kinds of stuff like this all over the place. I'll get some more here.
Volunteers needed. So again, we're trying to, we've got a good crew that's going to go down on the 21st, and we're looking for volunteers. They just need people that can just carry stuff, and we need volunteers. So we're if you're interested in going, your church group maybe is interested in going. Some of you and your friends would like to go down. Please contact us here at Coach Dave Live, and we're networking, as I said, to put volunteers on the ground. We'll help you with your expenses. We'll feed you. We'll house you. It's not the Ritz. Bring a sleeping bag, cot, air mattress. Sleep on the floor, but there are showers there, and so we'll take care of you. But these folks down here, they need help. Now, one of the problems we're facing is you can't get any farther south. I mean, this is down there, man. I'm talking about Port Rockport. When we go to Humble, it may be a little bit more modern than what we're seeing down here. So, a lot of stuff. One more thing. Let me show you one more video, and then I'll open this up a little bit. We went down and found this little pastor down there, Chad, or Jared, I think it's what says pastor. I just want to show you. We pulled up. We drove around everywhere. We're trying to find churches to work with. And we drove by this little one here, and there's a storefront church, and she's doing everything she could. She, You can see it in the back there. They got supplies and everything. And she's connected, and she said if we get down there, she can give us projects to help people and all that kind of stuff, and doing the best that she can. Go ahead and play that. We wrote her a check for a couple thousand dollars, and she about, it was like a million to her, I can tell you that. Make good use of it. Go ahead and play that, Jerry.
Hi, folks. Coach Dave here with my buddy Chad Estes. We're down here in, we are in Rockport to Pastor Deborah. Port of the Rock Church. Now, folks, we've guaranteed you, here's what we told you we were going to do that was different than anybody else. We're here on the ground, and we're trying to find ministries who are already here, committed into the community, working here. As you can see behind us, Pastor Deborah and their crew are working hard, feeding people coming in here. So we've written Pastor Deborah a check today to be able to fund what it is that they're doing down here. So Pastor Deborah, just say hi to, thank you to all the donors out there.
I just can't thank you enough. It does our heart good to hear that not only from our state, but that people are coming from other states as well. So many of our donations have come from other states. And Texas, thanks you. Let me tell you, we thank you from the bottom of our heart.
We got to make the church great again, don't we, Pastor
Yes,
Deborah?
And people, I have to tell you this. Every food box has a Bible or a Bible book, and it has our number on it, and it says we have church tomorrow. And we have had half of the people say we're coming Sunday. Now, we don't know if we're going to have enough chairs for them, but this is what is about. People are knowing the Lord is doing this. And when they see people like you guys coming into the city, it brings them hope.
What do you think, Chad? We're going to make the church great again. What do you think,
Chad? Well, yeah. The main thing we need to do also is we need to repent. We need to be pushing the repentance.
That's right.
Okay, if we want to continue to have judgment, then we're going to continue to not repent.
Because we know that God has more disaster than the federal government has. Really. God bless you, Pastor
God
Deborah.
Is good. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you guys. Amen.
Hi, Ray LeBlanc. Can you jump in here, Ray? You know, you were breaking up a little bit earlier before the show. Ray, you're a partner, and down there, you came through Knoxville, right, and partnered with Pastor Charles Lawson, who I don't really know Pastor Charles, other than I've watched him on YouTube because he's one of those no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is preachers, and somehow you connected with him, and he's aware of Past Assault Ministries, and you're getting some supplies. Can you weigh in on that at all, Ray?
So I went there Saturday after met up with Chet at the Asheville. There was two guys, Garnett and his buddy, and they had their van loaded with clothing supplies and Bibles and baby needs and stuff. So, I listened to the mission that you were involved in down here in Texas, so... He spread the word about the great work that's being done. Guys are great, and it's great to be able to get that, trying to build in your own communities. I'm in Tennessee, and so we get that connection with them. I'm sure in the future they'll try to help out even more. Now that, you know, we were making a commitment, it was worth the trip to get down there. And meet up with the guys.
So you're gonna join us down there in a couple of weeks. In fact, some of us are gonna go to Steve Quayle's conference in Branson this weekend. I'm on the road again, and some of our crew is gonna be down there. So and then we'll focus the next weekend. I've kind of rambled today. I'm sorry, it hasn't been maybe the edgy, hard hitting show that we normally have. I just heard from Don Paxson, a regular listener to our show. He lived down in the Keys, evidently. He lives in Florida. All okay, lots of damage in the Keys, no electric, a lot of cleanup here, no internet, but they're alive and well. And I have some other friends who are down there in Florida, and they got them a hurricane, but it was not necessarily as devastating as what people told us. Floor is open. Somebody jump in here.
Yeah, Coach, I want to go back to, where are the pastors and why aren't they doing these things? Is, you know, just simple observation. It's not just this one time. This is my fourth flood relief. And you know me, I'm not just in there for a week or 2 weeks. You know, I go long haul many months. And unfortunately, I, you know, I refer back to a conversation I had with a pastor after Katrina when I came back, and his personal conversation to me, he had moved up to North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the two. And I said, so what are you doing? He said, well, we transitioned up here. I said, well, what about here? He said, well, the church is gone. I said, the church is gone. He said, yeah. So basically what he was telling me, his job was gone. And I looked at him, I said, I didn't know that God called you into a job. I thought he called you into a ministry. And see, pastors who make church just about a paycheck is the same response when I talk. Just grieved me to hear when I'm looking in this guy's neighborhood that's flooded, but because he personally told me he didn't flood and his church didn't flood, they're not doing anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, so the church is okay, so there our business is okay, so we'll be open on Sunday. And brother, the churches were open on Sunday. They weren't open Saturday, but they were all open Sunday.
Isn't that something, folks? It's just, God help us, God help us. It's our chance to make Jesus look good. And we're so, I want to tip my cap again. I can't tell you, folks, Pastor Bill Dunphy, who catches a lot of crap himself because he's a stand-up guy and he goes and closes down strip clubs and he fights abortion and he fights the homosexual. He's a man's man, a pastor's pastor. He, another adult, Robert McLeod, loaded up five younger guys, teenagers, Pastor Bill's grandson, and they drove 30 hours. And they got down there and they got down and dirty and they rented equipment and they pulled out brush and they cut up trees and got in a truck and drove 30 hours back home. When the average guy, the average pastor, that ain't going on. That ain't going on. So, you know, I'm a little bit mixed here this morning. I didn't give you a whole lot of scripture here, but I think we're giving you the truth of the gospel. It's a great opportunity to make the church great again. And we're blowing it, boys. We're blowing it. Anybody else want to jump in here? Jared, I want to finish up, Jared, with hang on, what did I just do? Hit the wrong thing. I want to finish up, Jared, with the clip there. Where were you when the world stopped spinning? Alan Jackson, just to kind of remember today. Anybody else? Don't play that yet, Jared. Because, you know, I'm thinking today about 9-1-1 and what happened 16 years ago today and where we are. Where we are 16 years from today. And it was 12 years ago that Katrina hit. And what's changed since Katrina hit? I wanted to dive into this morning. I wanted to dive in a little bit to the whole facade makeup of 9-1-1 and all that. But I just thought that this, see, we live in the present, folks. We live here. And every day that we look around, there's a tragedy somewhere. And this monstrous tragedy on 9-1-1, look what happened to America as a result of that. All the security and pat downs and Patriot Act. And that's the day, and boy, did America change that day. And then today, your life's changing today. Hurricane Irma, these people down there with Hurricane Harvey, their life changed their day. That day will mark their lives forever. What's our response? How do we react to that tragedy that hits today? Because the tragedy that hits today could impact somebody else's life forever. And that's kind of the focus of where I am. A little melancholy today, a little bit tired. Gotta go to the dentist as soon as I'm off the air. Well, what a great day, huh? They're gonna do a 9-1-1 on one of my molars here this morning. You know, they're gonna put a new crown on that thing. So we'll probably get this blocked just because that's what they do. I just want to close today with Alan Jackson's song, "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning," talking about 9-1-1. And to think that the world has stopped turning right now for people down in Florida. Right now it's happening. And it happened 2 weeks ago for people down in Houston. And it's going to happen maybe in another week when another hurricane comes. But what it's going to be if it's an EMP attack, whatever that storm that's coming into your life, your world's going to stop spinning for a moment. And I just want us today, as we go to the close here, just to listen to this song and ponder on it and just think about the opportunity we have to help people get their world spinning again. Let's watch this. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you on tomorrow then.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer, and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep? Did you notice the sunset first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?